Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Hey, it's a getaway Friday. Friday, January the 15th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio for this Friday night live program by Angie Evers, the co-host. And it's an interesting weekend because a lot of us don't think of it as a three-day weekend, but it is for schools, if they were in, banks, government offices, three-day weekend. Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it's nice. It seems like Christmas was just yesterday, and it's been 21 days ago now.
Yeah.
Nearly a month.
It goes fast.
It does. I can't believe we're already this far in the month of January, halfway through it.
Yep. The time just flies.
You know, I want to mention, we got a Christmas card from, last year during Christmas time. Maybe this is why Christmas is on my mind. We do this every year. If you send us a card and put the return address in there, we send you a card back. And we hang the card in the studio and keep the card. And we got a lot of cards last year, and I mailed the cards back, and everything went well. And tonight, I was looking on the desk in the lobby, and I found an envelope with a Christmas card in it. And it's from Eva Kalb. So, Eva, if you're listening to this live or a replay, we did not intentionally not send you a card because I saw your return addresses in there. But for some reason, it never got to us. I don't know. I have been at that desk in the last 20 days, and I had never seen that there. So I don't know if the mailman brought it late. I don't know if it got lost. Until tonight, I had never seen it. And I'm here every day.
Does the mailman bring mail up here?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that's how we got all the other Christmas cards. People brought them in and they would be laying on the desk, but I never saw that one.
Maybe somebody moved it.
Or maybe. It
could have got lost in the mail.
It could have, and there was no postmark on it.
Yeah, that's weird.
I was looking at the envelope to see what it was postmarked, and there wasn't one. And it came through the mail because there was a forever stamp on it. So it had to come through the mail.
Hmm. I bet it got, held up at the post office or something.
So, Eva, we thank you for the card. We're sorry we did not get it until tonight, January the 15th. But we will work on that for next year. We will work on doing a better job of that. Well, I don't think this is our fault, really.
No, but we can only hope that next year there's not all this, mail disaster like this year or last year.
I don't know. It was a big week this year. A big week this year. It was a big week this week because we found out about the COVID vaccines locally here, that we're going to have 800 vaccines starting Monday. People 80 years of age and older can get it. Then the 25th, 75 years, the first 70 years, and people who work at schools, and then the 8th, 65. But I don't understand. 800 doses does not seem like a lot.
No, that's not a lot at all.
In a county of 65,000, I don't even think we're going to make it through the first week.
Right. I don't know how they would have even enough to cover all those age ranges. Because you would think, the first age range is that 800 would go for that.
Right.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I was telling you a story before we came up here tonight. I was watching the news because there's a lot on the vaccine right now. Because a lot of people not taking the vaccine and taking the vaccine. And I did not understand this news story. And I don't know if anybody else saw it. I think it was on the CBS News tonight. So, legitimate news. It wasn't like I saw it on the internet. But it was about the vaccine, encouraging people to take the vaccine. But then they interviewed this doctor, and I think she was from Texas. And she was talking about how, and they were showing x-rays. And they were showing what normal lungs should look like. They were showing what a smoker's lungs look like. And then they were showing what a COVID person's lungs look like. And the COVID's lungs were far worse, far cloudy than the smoker's lungs. And she said that anybody who's had COVID serious and been in the hospital with pneumonia and all that, that their x-rays still show damage to their lungs. And even if you were asymptomatic, she said 80 to 90% of her patients who had no symptoms of COVID still have a bad x-ray, worse than a smoker. And then they brought another doctor on. I think he was from California or Arizona. And he comes on and he says, well, yes, the x-rays are bad, but the x-rays are also bad if you would have pneumonia. And it takes you longer. It takes a while for your lungs to clear up, even after the pneumonia is over. You know, it takes 2, 3, he said sometimes 6 months, but your lungs eventually do heal themselves. So I don't understand that. Now, you... What do you think?
I have no idea. I mean, you would think your lungs would clear up.
I mean, they're probably not going to clear up in 2 weeks.
Right. It just may take time. Like, all things take time to heal.
Well, what I can't understand is why would your lungs be scarred? Wouldn't you have a symptom?
You would think. I mean, that whole thing doesn't really make sense.
Pneumonia is about having trouble breathing, right? Pneumonia is a respiratory illness.
Right.
Right. So, much like bronchitis, it takes those people a long time to get over that. But I don't know that it damages your lungs forever. I mean, a lot of people get pneumonia every year. And right. I'm sure their x-rays look horrendous. But
they heal up.
Right. So I don't understand why COVID... See, here's what I don't get about this whole thing, to be honest with you right now. We've had it around for 9 months. That's it. 9 months. 9 months, 2 days ago. How can anybody know? I mean, let's say it does damage your lungs for a year. Let's say you got it in March, and it takes a year for your lungs to fully heal. We wouldn't see that yet, because nobody's had it a year yet.
Right.
Because it just came in March.
Yeah. Although it feels like it's been forever.
But has not. March 13th. That's not when the first case came, but March 13th was the day they shut down everything. The only reason I remember that is the irony of it was a Friday the 13th.
Oh. Huh.
I remember that because I was teaching, and it was unheard of to shut the schools down. And at that time, it was only supposed to be for 2 weeks.
Right.
And I remember being around why everybody was scurrying, because they only gave you 48 hours. And everybody was trying to figure out, how are we going to do online learning for 2 weeks? How are we going... 2 weeks turned into the rest of the school year.
Right.
And even now, still.
Still.
So, you know, but that's what it was in the beginning. But I remember talking to somebody saying, it's Friday the 13th of all days for this to happen.
Sounds like a Friday the 13th.
And it was. We had 2 Friday the 13ths last year because, we didn't, because it was a leap year. So we just had it in March. But anyway, did anybody else see this report about the lung issue, about permanent scarring? Which I don't know how they could say permanent when we've only had it
when
for 9 months.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I when you go to the hospital, now I have not knowingly had COVID. When you go to the hospital, they don't keep everybody. But I'm sure if you test positive, they do a chest x-ray.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's my understanding that in a lot of people, they don't see anything wrong with your chest x-ray, and that's why they send you home. Isn't it? I mean, why would you send somebody home if they had damaged lungs?
Yeah. I don't know. That just doesn't make sense. But, I don't know if they do x-rays on chest x-rays on everybody. I suppose if you're having shortness of breath, you know, which is why you would probably be in the ER anyway, they probably would do a chest x-ray.
Right, and wouldn't a chest x-ray show something like pneumonia or damage?
Yes.
So why would they send you home?
I mean, I guess if you're stable... they'd send you home?
I don't know.
Like, if you don't need, like, if you're not having, like, if you don't need assistance with, like, oxygen or, like, helping you breathe.
Well, isn't the whole problem with this respiratory, isn't that what this is all about?
Yeah.
I mean, the other things are treatable, even with over-the-counter medication. Fever, chills, sore throat, cold, body aches, vomiting. Right.
You just have to tough it out.
Right, but the respiratory is the problem.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't quite understand it.
I don't think anybody does.
Well, and I'm still not sure what makes it hard for you to breathe, but isn't the pneumonia what kills you?
The COVID pneumonia?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just gets into your lungs, and I don't really know what happens.
And now they talk about these long haulers. Is that what they call them? COVID long haulers who have symptoms long after the virus is gone?
Oh, I don't know, but that does happen.
I wonder what causes that.
Who knows?
In any event, that's the news story I saw tonight, which I found very, very strange.
That is strange.
So what's new with you? You had the shot. You told us you were having symptoms last week. Now give us an update.
Yeah, I did have symptoms for a few days. But I am better. I think I'm back to normal. So, but, you know, that's typical with any vaccine. You know, some people may have side effects. Some may not. My arm was sore for a couple days. And then I had the nausea really bad. Nausea and really run down. Like, the fatigue is bad. And a lot of people that I work with ended up having the vaccine also. And they felt a lot of fatigue also. I don't know if anybody else had the nausea like I did, but, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I have to go back on the February 5th to get my second shot. So we'll see how I do after my second shot.
But you didn't have to miss work or anything like that.
No, I'm glad I had it done on a Friday, though. So I was able to rest, you know.
Well, it's interesting because the information I got from Dr. Yulin today in the CDC says that younger people are more likely to have side effects. Because what it says is younger people are much more likely to have side effects than older people because their immune systems tend to be healthier and respond more vigorously to any foreign substance. It is the immune system response that produces the side effects.
Hmm. Well, let's just hope that my immune response was working good and I'll be good.
Well, I mean, side effects are apparently caused by the immune system responding to the illness, which if you don't have a healthy immune system, there is no response.
Hmm. Well, I definitely responded.
So you must have a good immune system.
I don't know about that.
Well, I don't want to argue with Dr. Yulin and the CDC on this one.
And I'm not exactly young.
Well, I don't think you're 70.
Well, no.
I think that's what they say is old here, right? Over 60, isn't that what they're saying is the danger zone?
I don't know.
I'm sure it's not 40.
No?
No. I don't think they're considering 40 old.
Well, I'm not there yet.
No, but I think anybody under the age of 50, I don't think they consider to be in the danger zone.
Yeah.
You know, it's timing is everything. You know, we haven't had a pandemic in over 100 years, and bad time for a pandemic if you're over the age of 60.
Right.
Would have much rather had that creep up in your younger days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But it seems like the older people want to have the shot. Don't most of them?
Well, I think that's why they're starting with them. Mm-hmm. Is because they're more susceptible to dying.
Right.
You know, what is the other statistic that's on here? One in every 100 people over the age of 75 have died.
Yeah, that's a pretty big number.
Yep, one in every 100 over the age of 75.
Yeah.
That's not good statistics.
No, not really.
I think, again, because your immune system is down and your lungs are have been in the ringer longer when you're over 75.
Right. Definitely.
But a lot of people survive, too.
Oh, yeah.
So what's of interest to you?
Of interest to me?
Yeah.
Like, to talk about?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Oh, nothing, I go with the flow.
Nothing going on in the world now? Nothing to talk about?
Well, I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know, but I think it's interesting. Today, the FBI has said that these people going to the Capitol now were trying to harm people. I forget the exact words they used, but it wasn't a very pleasant idea of what they were doing last week. And Sunday, who knows what's going to happen. The National Guard in Ohio has been called in for Sunday. Whatever's going to happen at the Capitol, supposed to be called an armed protest. I don't know.
But what? Okay. Because I'm not big into politics, but what's going on Sunday? Like, why are they doing this on Sunday?
I think because they don't have to go to work that day.
Oh.
And I don't know why it's called an armed protest. I don't know.
I don't know. It's just, I just hope if they protest, it's all peaceful.
Well, I don't know. The NRA filed bankruptcy today.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about the NRA, the National Rifle Association.
Right. I don't know too much about it either, but I know they're in bankruptcy now. The other story is that, let's see here. The FBI has said no direct evidence. Well, maybe this is wrong here. No direct evidence rioters sought to kill, capture legislatures. So there's no direct evidence. Is there indirect? I don't know. That's an interesting story. Okay, here's what it is. Federal authorities said Friday that there is no direct evidence of kill and capture teams among the Capitol rioters walking back claims outlined in court documents that attackers sought to apprehend and assassinate elected officials. Acting D.C. U.S. Attorney Michael Sherwin, who is leading the investigation into the January 6th assault, referenced federal prosecutors' assertions in the U.S. District Court of Arizona supporting the detention of riot suspect Joseph Chansley, who was widely photographed in face paint and a horned helmet, leading part of the mob. Strong evidence, including Chansley's own words and actions at the Capitol, supports that the intent of the Capitol rioters was to capture and assassinate elected officials in the United States government, the filing stated. The initial contention that elected officials were targeted was offered in support of claims that Chansley, also known as Jake Angeli, and the QAnon shaman, represented a continuing threat to public and should remain in custody. But Sherwin contradicted the alarming allegations, suggesting that there was a disconnect among federal authorities and the local prosecutors on information that was not known to officials in Washington. So, I guess maybe they were not there to capture and kill. Why the guy was dressed like a Viking, I have no idea.
I don't know, but they're all in trouble now.
Well, he's in the pen now.
Yeah. I wonder if they thought about that before, you know, they did that. Like, oh, I'm doing this. Am I going to get in trouble? Because, like, I tend to do things if I know I'm going to get in trouble, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to get in trouble. Well, but I guess maybe people don't care.
Well, I remember in the old days when people broke into places, they used to wear black and try to blend in. Now they wear
horns.
Horns and face fur. Paint and bright colors and no clothes.
Right. And they, you know, they've pinpointed a lot of people by the things they wore. You know, like that one teacher, she was like a teacher of some sort, but she wore those Trump pants. So they were able to identify her, you know, and the people that had like specific, you know, clothing. But, you know, I think they pretty much did themselves in because they, you know, we live in a selfie world. So they were all taking selfies and pictures.
See, I don't know what that was all about. And nobody has answered the question yet. And I've asked, so what was the point? What were they trying to do?
I have no idea. I mean, I guess you'd have to talk to one of them to see what their, you know, motive was.
I'm just curious to know what you're trying to do when you break into the Capitol. Because they did stop and they did take selfies and they did trash offices. And I'm not sure why. What was the point of that?
I have no idea. I guess they were just angry. But did you see the video of the girl that was shot and killed? Did you see the video of her ranting? Like, she was driving, and then she was ranting about, she was angry about things. Did you see that video?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because I watched it, and I'm like, I mean, she was angry. Like, you could tell, like, she was driving, and she was, like, recording herself when she was driving. And, I mean, she was just angry. She was angry at, like, people. The same woman that was like shot and killed. So I don't know. It was just weird.
Well, people are angry. There's no doubt about that. But Where do they go from here?
Right. But you know, like just like on Facebook, I mean, I see things that I don't agree with a lot on Facebook, but you know what I do? I just keep scrolling. You know, when you like comment or you listen to this stuff constantly, it just makes you angry. Like, I used to live with somebody that would, he would listen to, like, Rush Limbaugh or somebody like that on the news, and he would get worked up about things. And anyway, like, when he would come home, he would be angry and just ranting and raving about all this political stuff. And, you know, I don't really pay attention to all the politics and whatnot, so you know, but I don't know why people listen to things or do things that make them angry. Like, I don't want to stress myself out, so I would just keep scrolling, turn the radio off. Like, I don't know, that's just what I would do.
I'm
because
not sure.
It just makes you like an angry person, I think, when you constantly feed yourself negative stuff or stuff that makes you angry, then I feel like you become an angry person.
I just don't know why we cannot listen to people who have different viewpoints than ours and go, okay, I understand you feel that way. Okay, I don't agree with it, but that's okay. You're allowed to feel the way you feel. I'm allowed to feel the way I feel, as long as we don't injure anybody or kill anybody in the meantime. Life is okay. I don't know why we have to be so into telling people they're wrong,
right?
And into changing people's opinions. People aren't going to change their opinions. They're not going to change them on anything. Politics is just one thing.
Right.
You go in and try to tell somebody that they've married the wrong person while they're still married to them. Try to tell somebody that they're about to marry the wrong person. Try to tell somebody that they're raising their kids wrong. Try to tell somebody that they're in the wrong career field. People don't want to hear your opinions.
No. Nope. But, I mean, I see on Facebook all the time, though. Like, even, I mean, on the, like, the big websites, the news sites, you know, they have a headline, and then people start commenting, and then they just argue with each other. Like, you know, it's just... I don't know. I don't know why people let themselves feed into that.
Because people believe they're right. And everybody else is wrong.
Yeah.
And there are some, I mean, I don't know how close we are to actual sociopathism, but there are people in the world who have built-in insecurities. So there, I've always found that most combative people are insecure to begin with. Like, for example, somebody who likes to be disagreeable all the time, usually if you look at them, you will find that they're really not disagreeing with you about the issue that they're disagreeing with you about. It's more that they feel inadequate about something else. Like, for example, you know, if you're ever having a conversation with somebody and they're arguing with you and you say, I don't think you understand about the facts, because there is a difference between facts and opinions. So, and then you try to point out what the facts are to those people. They get angry because they think you're lecturing them, that they're too stupid to figure it out. So what they're really feeling inadequate about is that they're not smart enough, that they don't get it. They're not really arguing with you about the issue. They could care less about the issue. Mm-hmm. What they're really arguing with you about is they feel inadequate. They feel like they're being lectured to about what they believe in.
Yeah. Hmm. Ugh, I don't know. But, you know, I feel like on the internet, people bully each other, like, bad. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why. If you don't have something nice to say, you know.
Oh, we don't live in that world anymore.
I know, but I think people should.
That world is long gone. We prefer to be angry and name-calling and judgmental of other people.
Well, it just makes me remember, like, I mean, there was somebody else that would comment all the time on Facebook pages. Like, they would follow these pages and comment on things, and they would get people, it was like they purposely were egging people on to, like, make them mad. I mean, in it was, like, religious stuff or political stuff, and, I was actually worried. I had to tell this person, you have got to stop this. Like, somebody's going to come to the house and, like, murder us. Like, I was getting fearful because there was threats. Like, and it just blows my mind, like, why this person kept doing this. You know, they were just egging people
inadequate.
On.
Ugh. It's an inadequacy. Nobody has to argue with a stranger. Now, that's really a new thing that social media has created.
But it's the bullying on there. I mean, people are just so mean to each other. I mean, they just put down each other left and right. I mean, it's bad. I mean, I'll just read through the comments and then, you know, I don't comment on anything because I just find it crazy what people say to each other. Just not world.
I just let history judge people. Because we can look back in history at what was right and what was wrong once it's over. And we get some time in between it. And the people who supported the bad things, a lot of them in years after the bad things were happening, had to turn around. And they had to say, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know why I thought that. And they had to repent that stuff. So I think history is a great judge of all this stuff. And, you know, you never want to be on the wrong side of history. You want to be on the right side. You want to be remembered for doing good things. And sometimes people are not.
Right. Like, I would not want to be remembered as one of those people who entered the Capitol building.
But you know what? It's interesting to me that there is a defense for those people. That people will defend them who don't even know them. That's also another weird thing that, I mean, it used to be you would defend people you knew because you'd say, well, that person is not that kind of person and I know it because I know them. But I don't know anybody who knows any of these people personally. So to defend them, I don't really understand that. How do they know what they were up to? On the surface, what they did does not look good.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I could defend anybody's actions like that.
People are so misinformed. You know, I don't remember. I was having a conversation this morning. It might have been with the pastor. But I said, you know, the things that bothered me this week were, Ohio State lost, and then the impeachment happened. And if you went to Facebook after either one of those events, you would have seen so much misinformation. the news was, the fact was, Ohio State lost. Now, the opinion is, oh, the referees were out to get them. Oh, they had players out because of COVID. Oh, you know, the other team, any number of things. And the impeachment, you know, this is what's going to happen now. This is why the people did it. Those are opinions. And people at some point have to realize that's all they are, opinions.
Right.
The fact remains, and the fact will always be, that Ohio State lost that game. And the fact will always be that the impeachment was voted yes on, period.
Right.
You know, you can feel it's right or wrong, but it is an opinion. The fact is what happened.
Right. I guess people don't like to admit that.
No, because they don't like it. You know, they're fans.
Right.
People like Ohio State. Certain people like Donald Trump, so they feel that's an affront to them. Although I don't understand that either. You know, there's no politician in this world of any party that I take things personally about. You know, it wouldn't even cross my mind.
Right.
I mean, I don't understand what the defense is.
I don't know.
I don't feel the need to defend any politicians. I think that they can defend themselves.
Right. Yeah. I don't think I could defend any of them either. Regardless.
Now, I can praise them because I think certain things that they do are very good, but I don't understand in critiquing them. That's not... I don't have to defend, and I don't need to critique. Leave that up to other people.
Right. Because you know other people will do it.
All day long.
All day long. I think too many people have got, like, engulfed in all of this stuff, and they need to just turn off Facebook, turn off all this negative stuff, and just live your life. I don't know.
I mean, there are a lot of sociologists now in society. Everybody thinks they know why people are doing what they're doing. I don't know why people are doing what they're doing. I just know they're doing it.
Right. I couldn't tell you either.
People do odd things. This is what I've learned. And you just let it happen. And, you do see the light of day eventually.
Eventually. Right.
I mean, it all eventually comes around.
Yeah. Well, this next week will be interesting. I just hope that everything is just peaceful. I'm hopeful. Hopeful that it'll be peaceful.
Well, it'd be nice.
I don't like to see people get hurt or anybody killed or anything.
Well, I don't think most sane-minded people do.
Yeah.
I don't think people want to see people in limbo or in trouble.
Yeah. I think I watched too many of the videos of the rioters and, like, I don't know. This one guy threw, like, a fire extinguisher at three of the officers. Did you see that? Did you watch that?
I don't think so, but I heard about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he just chucked it at him. Like, I don't know. They're on YouTube. But I watch too many videos.
Well, there's a lot of things out there now, too. That's an interesting thing, that there are a lot of things. People can pretty much find what they want. They can find their own opinions.
Right. I just think it's sad.
If more than anything. You can find anything to back up your opinion. That's, I guess, the best way to put it.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's nice to me that I think more people are getting involved, because I think you should be involved in what's going on with policy and in your community and in your world. I mean, the stimulus money doesn't come out of the sky. It comes from your government. If they send it to you.
Which they did not send me my stimulus.
I don't understand that.
So I'm really upset about that whole situation.
Well, I don't know. I'm still not sure what you would have done which would not have made that happen.
So I think this is my thinking, because, you know, like the H&R Block and TurboTax, you know, a lot of times if they... Like, I didn't use either one of those services last year. I actually had somebody do my taxes. But, I mean, he was a, what do you call him, a tax guy.
Accountant.
Yes. So, anyway, but his fee came out of my taxes. So, like, I didn't have to pay him, like, cash or write a check. It just automatically came out. Like, they deducted the amount that I owed him out of my taxes. So, which I know TurboTax will do that. H&R Block will do that. You know, so is that why I did not get my taxes or my stimulus? Because it went to his account? You know, because his was maybe the first one on the account? His account number?
Well, I'm sure a lot of...
Because I paid him through my tax refund?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people use TurboTax, and I don't think money went to them.
Well, see, I was thinking that they said it did.
Well, I don't know. What did they do? Did you call the guy?
No.
Might have been a good place to go.
So, but
you... What, why haven't you called him? If you think this is what happened, why didn't you give him a call?
I just been busy. I just don't have time during the day to make phone calls.
Does he have an email?
Possibly.
I'd email him.
Yeah. But what do I do now? I mean, like, I would imagine I'm just going to have to file that thing on my taxes stating that I didn't get my stimulus.
But what if he got the money?
Well, it's not his money. He better send it back.
Right, but shouldn't you let him know that you did not get it, and why didn't you get it? He did your taxes. You did pay him, right?
Oh, yeah.
So shouldn't he hold the answers to this?
Maybe. But
I'd call him.
But don't you think that he would have, like, a large amount of money in his account and be like, oh... Where'd all this money come from? I mean, no. Because I'm sure that it wouldn't have just been me. Do you know what I mean? Whoever else would have done this.
But even if the money wasn't sent to him, don't you think he would know why it hasn't come to you? Because it was all based off people's taxes.
Right.
I'm sure if he did more than one person's taxes, other people are having this problem.
Right. I mean, yeah, he has his own tax place.
I'd call him.
So, I don't know. That has been my only assumption. That's what's happened. I don't know because, I mean, I didn't have a problem at all with my first stimulus. I got it right away. So.
You know what I was thinking? This is totally off the subject, and we only have 5 minutes left. But I was thinking today, you know, you have a lot of people who you do shows with. Because today, I really, the only person who I think was here was the pastor. And then we had Larry Merchant on at 12, and we had David Newell on, when was he on? I think between 8 and 9, talking about Mrs. Rogers, mm-hmm. which I appreciate him doing. And, you know, there was another case where he said he talked to her a month ago, and she was fine, and gone. Well, she was 92, though.
Yeah.
But I guess he did say he found out she had been in the hospital and then went home.
Wow.
Betty White turns 99 on Sunday.
Sunday. Wow. I haven't seen it much video of her, though. Have you recently?
I doubt she's been out in the COVID era.
Yeah. Probably keeping her in tight quarters.
I would think.
Probably.
And she's 99. I don't think for about the last 5 years she's done all that much.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
Age catches up with everybody. Eventually, you just can't do it anymore.
Right.
Especially acting. I imagine you would have trouble remembering lines, and I think one of her big issues is balance.
Oh.
Because anytime I've seen her lately, somebody's always walking her.
Holding on to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's kind of ruined her in a way that she got so popular after 80, because there was like that 5 year period when it was because she did SNL. That's what got her all the attention. And she did it in her late 80s. And this got all the attention because she was the oldest person to ever do it. And it was Betty White, and everybody knew Betty White. And then all of a sudden she was in that movie, The Proposal, which did well at the box office. And then she got in Hot in Cleveland, and she did the Snickers commercial for the Super Bowl. And she was everywhere all of a sudden. And she kind of became known for being this old woman who does everything, can still work and can still be funny and can still keep up. Well, eventually you do hit a point. It's everybody hits it at a different point where you just can't do what you used to do.
Right.
And I think she's hit that point. And I think where most people might just get a cane or be in a wheelchair, she can't do that. Because her whole career now is based on her being old and never dying and, you know, being able to work at her age.
Right.
When I don't think she can anymore.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know of too many 99-year-olds that are still working.
Right, but I think her whole image that became her image as unstoppable, that age doesn't affect her.
Right.
But it did, eventually.
Right.
She's not the oldest working actor. She became so known for that. That's why we celebrate her birthday every year. That's why it makes news now, because when she hosted SNL, it was a big deal that, you know, this person in their mid-80s, can they do this live television? Can they really pull this off? Nobody of that age has ever done it. And she did.
Right.
And she did it well.
Right.
And then she was doing a series into her early 90s, but somewhere around 92, 93, you didn't see so much of Betty White anymore. And now when you do see her, she's either in a chair or they're walking her around. You know, it's nothing wrong with it. It's just that's her brand became being the old active person. I don't think she can do it anymore.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But there are, I mean, good Lord, I have people, I'm trying to think of older people who I've had on who are still perfectly fine and still perfectly working. Shecky Green's in his 90s. He comes on, now I don't know what his issues are with walking at this point, but he's 94.
Really?
And he's still, hearing's good. He never asks, you know, me to repeat myself or anything like that. Gosh, who else has been on who's way up in age? But, you know, they're still... But it's just Betty White got so much attention for being old.
Yeah.
That now, I think it's hard for her to admit when she can't do something.
Yeah. But I guess if you're 99, you shouldn't feel bad about not being able to do something.
Right, but I think you don't want people to see you that way.
Right.
You don't want the last pictures to, 'cause I think her mind is still there.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just not as spry. Everybody's body gets to a point. And, you know, sadly, when you work too much, sometimes that'll cause your body to break down a little faster.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
I think my body's breaking down. I think I've worked too much.
Already? We've worked too much this hour because we're going to go to break and then come back with a whole another hour. Toll-free lines are open, 740-383-9944. Stay tuned.
Believe in us, but we in Cleveland, and the time is now. And here we are in Cleveland. It's probably 39 degrees. The winds are out of the northwest coming off the lake. The lake would be... The Great Lake. Yeah, Larry. It's, oh no, something happened. We're getting some feedback here. A play has been played. I had my back to it. What was that?
It was a double down the right field line for Jose Ramirez.
The cold is coming off the lake. Ramirez is doing well. And as near as I can tell, we want to send out from Smuckers a very 108th happy birthday to Billy Goat Charlie, who today celebrates 108 years old as the Cleveland Indians are pulling out of the Chicago Cubs in the World Series. Happy birthday, Billy Goat.
Happy birthday, Billy Goat, see you next year.
Do you think that the Chief Wahoo character will eventually end up in the same trouble that the Redskins character has ended up in?
You know, I was hoping not, but I'm afraid, unfortunately, it's going to happen.
This could be the last chance for the Indians, because after this, they will be the Cleveland Jet Flyers.
Yes, they could be the Cleveland Rock and Rollers from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
We're going to take a little break, see if we can find somebody else. This is Scott Spears and Terry Tackett. We are live from the Cuban Progressive Field on what is a very balmy, very cool night here as we kick off World Series 2016 opening game. And it's been something else, I assure you of that.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. Marion was the largest population center in Marion County, with a total population of 38,000 residents. This marked a 10% growth in the town's population since 1990, and the county itself experienced a 3% growth rate to a total population of 66,217 people in the last census. Programming on WWGH Radio is proudly supported by Mimi's Party Zone and Balloons. Address 117 North Greenwood Street, Suite 5. Telephone number 740-262-8810. Facebook Mimi's Party Zone Balloons.